This is the Charles Friedman Show on KSCO AM 1080 104.1 FM in Santa Cruz. Charles is on vacation right now, and today is his birthday. Wishing him a happy birthday today. So today, my name is Brad. I'm normally the morning producer and co-host of Flight 1080 with Dave Michaels. But today we're doing a special show on housing because housing is a big deal. It's taking up a lot of time in terms of media, public policy. We have a homeless crisis. We have an affordable housing crisis for the working class, for the middle class, and even the upper middle class. So Evan decided he's going to hang out with us for a few minutes for the second hour, but I also have another guest. His name is Seb Fry. He is a local real estate agent. He's been active in the community for over 30 years. And welcome to the show, Seb.
Hey, thanks, man. It's great to be here.
It's hard with the mic to adjust looking at everybody here in the studio. So, Seb, you were listening to the first hour of the radio program. What were your reflections?
My reflections are that it just shows the complexity of the issue. There's not really any one easy solution to the problems that we face. There's a lot of different causes of our problem, and the solution, that, I mean, there is no one solution. It's going to take years and years of different ranges of attack on the problem. And, you know, yeah, part of the solution is absolutely there has to be more housing and a greater variety of housing and new different kinds of housing than we've had before. And our community 100 years from now is going to look a lot different than it looks today. But you know what? It looks a lot different than it did 100 years ago.
So, Sebastian, I'm curious because you've been in the real estate game for, what, 15 years, right?
Yeah.
And you're a broker. And you went through the first hit, you know, during the early 2000s, we had the boom. And then you experienced the bust. And then you've seen the gradual the revival of our real estate market. So I want you to take a look at real estate in Santa Cruz County from a long view, because this is your area of expertise. You've been here quite a long time, and you've seen the cycles in the market. So from your perspective, what would you do to solve this problem of the affordability and supply problems?
Well, the first thing that I would do, which I know the county is doing, is I'd update the general plan. The general plan was last revised in 1994. The community has changed quite a bit since 1994. The general plan was built to restrain growth. That was the whole point of the general plan, and it's done a great job. You know, the amount of housing stock is growing about one-fourth the rate of which the population is growing. And it's just, you know, it is not sustainable. What they've created isn't working. So the general plan needs to be completely revised to allow for lots of new creative ways to house our people, to employ our people, and to get our people moving around the county. And they are working on that. I'm not quite sure when the new general plan is going to be available, but I know that Barbara Mason down at the county spent a lot of time on it, and Zach Friend and the people in the Board of Supervisors are hard at work at it. But it really needs to be a sort of a revolution, I think, in terms of, you know, a holistic approach to solving the housing crisis, because it's existential in a way, right? You know, at some point, a supply problem becomes a demand problem, right? At some point, people are not going to want to live here because it just has become so, you know, unlivable, essentially. So if this isn't solved in the next, I don't know how long, you know, 10 or 20 years, we're really going to have big problems.
So let's take a bird's eye view of the county. So is it a Santa Cruz County problem, or is it limited to certain cities? Does South County have the same problems too?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it's a California problem. Earlier, you were saying it's a West Coast problem. It probably is a West Coast problem. There is a lot of emphasis on maintaining these green areas, but I don't think that the green areas are the issue. I think the issue is density. I think that people are interested in maintaining a low density. You know, I live in a neighborhood where the average lot size is 14,000 square feet. It's very nice. I know that a lot of people don't want to see that turned into townhouses,
yeah.
But a lot of these neighborhoods, that's the better solution for them, is to make them into townhouses. In my neighborhood, a lot of these houses that are 2,500 square feet have one person living in them or two people living in them. You know, there's a lot of really underutilized land.
That's right.
And that's because of the way it's been planned. It's been planned for that. And that really needs to change to meet the housing needs without paving over the Pogo Nip or, you know.
That's right. Nobody really wants it. I mean, the thing is we really are. I mean, all of us here, we're I don't want to misrepresent you. We're not anti-development, but at the same, we're pro-development, but in the context of our culture, that we don't want to become Honolulu, where you just have just math. And there's part. I mean, I looked at your bio, and you've traveled all over the world. So I bet you've been to places on this planet where you said the development's out of control.
Yeah, clearly there have been many places on this planet where the development's out of control, and I've also been to places where there is no planning at all, and
that's
it's
right.
completely out of control, and it's a disaster. I favor planning. I like the planning department in Santa Cruz County. I think that they have a very difficult task. I think that they do a lot of not things incorrectly or not as well as they could, but I support their mission, right?
Of course.
So do I want to see us turn into another Honolulu? I like Honolulu, too. It's
that's right.
It's a nice place to live, I think. I've only been there one time, but I did enjoy my time in Honolulu. But, yeah, we will. I think that what we have in the Bay Area, let's just call it, is we're tied to a sort of suburban car-based past, right? We've been living
that's
this
right.
way for 70 or 80 years, and our whole communities are built around this sort of lifestyle, and this lifestyle is no longer sustainable. I think it's clear from the commute times people are looking at and the air quality and the cost of housing that it just doesn't work like it used to, like in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
That's
that,
right.
That time
yeah.
is gone, and we need to change.
So yeah. I want to bring somebody also in to the show, Robert Singleton. He is the executive director of the Santa Cruz County Business Council. Robert, I'm going to bring you in quickly, and then we're going to go take a short break. This is the Charles Friedman Show on KSEO AM 1080 104.1 FM in Santa Cruz. My name is Brad. I'm filling in for Charles Friedman today. Charles is on vacation, but he shall be back next week. So right now I have three guests. I have Evan Soroki. He is the founder of Santa Cruz Yimbies, and I have Sebastian Fry. He is a local real estate agent. We're talking about the supply side of real estate today. Also on the phone, I have my guest, Robert Singleton, and he is the executive director of the Santa Cruz County Business Council. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So have you been listening to the conversation at all?
Just for about the past 10 minutes.
So we've been talking about the supply side of real estate in Santa Cruz County and how we've been limited by the bureaucracy in development, also in the prohibitive costs of development of new residential building, plus we have environmental considerations. Basically, Santa Cruz is a hot mess. What, in terms of housing, when you reflect upon it and talk to the people in the community, your own background in real estate, what do you see the problem as?
It's a twofold problem. I mean, on one side of it, it's definitely political, and I think you guys were touching on it earlier in terms of really kind of a value proposition that people face in wanting to live in certain types of neighborhoods, but also being faced with a lot of larger economic shifts that are going on that ultimately are continuing to drive up the demand to live in Santa Cruz and the supply of housing. So that's definitely that's a problem, both in terms of just having to deal with a lot of larger economic influences, but also a local political problem and having to, what do we as a community want to do in order to kind of adapt to these different types of changes? And we have to look at our infrastructure and look at housing as a piece of that infrastructure approach.
So I'm sitting talking to three intelligent men here today, and we're trying to solve the problems of housing in Santa Cruz. We all agree we need a diversity of housing. We need to rethink the zoning process. We need to rethink the economics of the application process of development. And we're also talking about housing density. And there are a few corridors that have been mentioned in the general plan. One is Cayuga, Seabright, a lot of the property along Soquel and maybe perhaps Mission and also property downtown Santa Cruz in terms of instead of building out, we go up. What do you think about that?
Well, I 100% agree. I mean, if you're going to accommodate new growth of housing in any form, you want to do it in the way that's going to be the least impactful both on people's existing understanding and values of their neighborhood and their neighborhood character, as well as the environment. And the way you do that most effectively is by building denser, taller buildings that are more consolidated around transit.
So this is Santa Cruz. How long have you been in Santa Cruz, Robert?
About 10 years now.
So all of us are familiar with the political climate in Santa Cruz County, especially when it comes to NIMBYism, environmentalism, traffic, climate change. So a lot of people will say, we're just having this discussion. We need to build more housing. We need to go up, and it needs to be more dense. And then there are going to be people on the other side of the equation who are saying, no mas, no more. We can't do it. Enough people as it is. We got to consider environment, got to consider pollution. And I hate to say it personally, but it is really a head in the sand approach in the sense that California is going to continue to grow. Silicon Valley is going to continue to grow. The United States allows over 1 million legal immigrants in the country every year, and we have 330 million people. So how do we alleviate the problems of building new supply in terms of environment, traffic, things of that nature? What do you think, Robert?
This isn't necessarily a new problem. I mean, urbanization has existed for a long time, and many different countries have existed and provided housing for people. I mean, you look at any old European city and you look at decades upon centuries of development and new urbanization and waves of, you know, people coming in or out of the city depending on economic times. And it doesn't mean you can't provide for the infrastructure. It means that you have many different models from all over the world about how people have been living in cities, and you can do it effectively. You can do it efficiently, and it's an obligation to have to do it, but it's also an investment in the livelihood of the people and the community that they want to live in. So it's not new. I just think, again, it's a question of value. It's, you know, things are changing. You know, we're at the mercy of the greatest jobs-producing economic engine in the history of mankind, you know, less than 30 minutes away. You have a growing university. These changes are happening whether you like them or not, and there's not a lot of local tools in our toolbox from a policy perspective to be able to affect these changes. So we have to, you know, yes, it's difficult to see sometimes the character of our neighborhoods change, and if people still, even faced with this context, want to fight that, I understand that, you know, people who want to live in the community that, you know, that they've come to know and love. But, you know, there's the culture of Santa Cruz, and then, you know, there's the housing stock. And if you want to maintain that diversity and culture and that kind of social aspect of living in Santa Cruz in the way it is, you need to provide housing for a diversity of people. And so you're faced with that kind of conundrum. And so politically, people come on both sides. But, and you know, it's not to say it's necessarily wrong, but that's the values question that we're all having to collectively ask ourselves.
Okay. So, Robert, I'm going to go to Evan now because he wanted to comment on the last segment concerning density and development. What did you have to say about that?
Well, absolutely. I think a lot of people bring up the issue of becoming like a, you know, Honolulu, like you said, or Manhattan, or even San Jose or something like that. And I think that, you know, we don't need to become even that dense. We could allow for, you know, buildings that are even, you know, four stories in apartments. And I mean, I just drove past one on the way here that would probably be illegal to get built. And I personally, my personal taste, I believe it fits fine within a neighborhood character because there are literally houses across the street that are about that tall. And so I think we're not talking about becoming, you know, the next downtown San Francisco.
Right.
But perhaps, you know,
I think we're all trying to get to the point that we need to use what space we have, what limited space we have, more efficiently in the context of
absolutely.
Our cultural character and our community character. So I'm going to take some calls right now, if you guys don't mind. Let's go with Robert in Ben Lomond. Robert, you're on the air. How can I help you today?
Hey guys, Brad, Evan, Seth, Robert. Yeah, so one of the things, I'm a lifelong resident of Santa Cruz that's just absolutely just disgusted with the way things have turned out. But being said, you know, current property owners in Santa Cruz, they've been damn near on their knees begging to ease the restrictions on ADUs. And, you know, you said it earlier that it would provide 10,000 units to rent. And, you know, also with more supply, reduces the demand, and also can possibly bring the cost down. You know, the city and county have restrictions on ADUs that the owners have to live on the property, which is terrible, man. You know, I said that there's property owners in Santa Cruz County that have, are generational, that have been here for forever, that own multiple properties around Santa Cruz,
yeah,
would jump at the chance to be able to build ADUs, but their hands are tied.
Also, it's prohibitively expensive. We were just talking about, what was $100,000?
But you know what, though? Yeah, $100,000. But think about that for a second. $100,000, so you're going to increase the value of your property as a property owner.
That's a good point.
Also, you know, you're increasing, you're getting rent for that, and you're solving a problem of lack of supply. But Santa Cruz, the county, and the city are both so strict because they want to restrict growth. I mean, it's prohibitive to even attempt it. That being said, I mean, no one wants to become Milpitas or you know, San Francisco with the stack and pat. But I mean, it's, we have a serious problem in the county. That the planning department and building department needs to be reeled in. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I agree completely, and I've been following the county updating their ADU process, and I think this is something where we're definitely focused on as in the UMB movement in terms of trying to make it easier to build ADUs, because these things are, like, as you said, you know, it's not the stack and pack kind of thing, and it doesn't get met with as much opposition, and, you know, there's sort of smaller units, so they're kind of these affordable by design. And so I think there's going to be, you know, a lot of advocacy work that we're going to be doing to make it easier and less costly to build ADUs throughout the county and city.
So, Evan, I'm curious about that. Did you, when you were speaking to the mayor and you had your meeting with her, did you bring this up?
Well, we brought up the cost of permitting fees. Mm-hmm. This is something that...
Just generally, not the
in
ADUs.
In general.
Okay.
Yeah, and but for ADUs, absolutely, because, you know, these are, you know, it's not an entire house, and, you know, it's accessory to begin with. So there's already, you know, infrastructure usually on the property that can allow it to happen fairly easily.
So before I take the next call, go ahead.
Yeah, and a lot of these, you know, a lot of these folks, myself included, you know, I mean, I'm a property owner here in Santa Cruz County, and it would be great to add a garage with an ADU above it. It would be twofold, you know, you'd get some parking people off the street, and you'd, you know, gain some housing. But again, I mean, if someone needs to address the city and counties that to ease the restrictions on having to live on the property to be able to build an ADU, the restrictions are, I mean, if they catch you doing it, they'll straight up take your money, all the rent you've collected for an ADU if you don't live on the property.
Yeah, the penalties are high as well. So, Robert, we got to go. We got to go on to the next caller. Thank you for your call and listening to KSCO. Rob in Santa Cruz.
Hi.
You're on the Charles Friedman Show today. How can I help you?
I might have an idea.
Go ahead. We're up to we're about a minute and a half, so we're up against the clock before we go to break.
Real quick. Get a bunch of land in Arizona, build some complexes, have some electricity, double tractor trailer full of water, a bull, a bunch of cows, chickens, pigs, and have a good time.
Well, I mean, that's not, has nothing to do with Santa Cruz, though.
And we'll ship them over there. And give them seeds to build their own crops. And I think that would work.
Thank
for the parties.
All right, thanks, Rob. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Troy and Felton. Troy, we got about a minute left. What can we do?
Oh, okay, answer. It's Brad and Evan, right?
Brad, Evan, and Seb. And we got Robert on the phone, Santa Cruz County Business Council.
Well, here it's this easy. Get rid of the university, those 15,000 students. That's why you can't find a damn house here. And all the housing grants are going for the farm workers here and the people that are doing the service work, cleaning houses, the You know, that's where the housing grants are going. That's why we have a housing shortage. Everyone here is working for the county, city, or government, fire departments. I live in Felton, and half the cars there are park rangers, fire department, you name it. That's it. That's get rid of the government, and if your friend wants to buy a house here, he's going to be paying $10,000 a year in property taxes if he gets in a cheap house. And thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks, Troy. Thanks for your call. Unfortunately, the UCSC is immovable, and at sitting in the state government can't do much with that because that's a state issue. We are up against our half-hour break. Good afternoon, everybody. We're back to the Charles Friedman Show. My name is Brad. I am the guest host for Charles while he is on vacation for Christmas and New Year's, and today is his birthday. Happy birthday, Charles. Today we are talking on the Charles Friedman Show about real estate and supply, and government prohibitions. How do we create a housing stock for this community that reflects our standards so it doesn't destroy the environment? We have to be sensitive about the beach, and we have to be sensitive about the diversity of our working classes, our middle class, our upper middle class, because we all have different needs. On the phone, I have Robert Singleton, who is executive director of the Santa Cruz County Business Council, and he also was the government affairs officer for the Santa Cruz Board of Real Estate. So, Robert, are you still there?
Yeah.
So, in terms of your relationship with the government as the government affairs officer for the Board of Real Estate, what was your relationship with the bureaucracy?
No, it was very cordial and very positive. I mean, they're always willing to talk and engage in discussion and be receptive to different points of view. It's just a lot of the times you can respectfully disagree, you know. So, I mean, the relationship was never bad. I think actually it's probably better to sit down and be willing to have tough discussions about these decisions than to have kind of an oppositional relationship.
Look, so let's be honest, the government officers and bureaucrats, they need housing too. What is the general attitude of the bureaucracy? When I'm talking bureaucracy, I'm talking environmental health, I'm talking about all the applicable bureaucracies related to real estate. What do you think the attitude was concerning development, concerning the future? Is there a crisis? I mean, do they care? I mean, let's get down to nitty gritty.
They totally care. I mean, and they totally understand the major need. I mean, they hear about it every single day from a lot of people. So it's not like it's a new issue to them. They're trying to do the best they can given the limited amount of space they have to operate, both just legislatively and politically. They're very receptive to, and again, this comes back to, it's really a decision that we as a community need to make. The government, the bureaucrats, as you say, are largely just doing the bidding of what they feel the majority of people want, and as laid out by how the Board of Supervisors dictates the policy. And
yep.
the board is also very receptive to folks who don't want Santa Cruz to change. You know, they feel like,
yes,
you know, they're trying to aim for the middle road and accomplishing what they can with the path of least resistance, right? But ultimately it's the community that's you know, in both of their ears at the same time, yelling opposite things, that makes it really hard for them to find meaningful solutions.
So, I mean, let me ask both of you, Seb and you, Robert, do you think, knowing what you know, knowing the community, having a background in real estate, having a background in business, understanding economics, what is the middle road? Is there a middle road that where everybody will be happy? I mean, we're always going to have people who are miserable and not be happy about anything. But is there a way that maybe we can get 70% to agree on both sides, say, okay, we have a housing crisis, we have a supply crisis, and we have a working class that can't afford – I mean, they're paying 70-80% of their income to housing, which to me is ridiculous.
I don't
yeah,
think that
I
we're
mean,
– Oh, you go ahead, Robert.
Well, I just want to say that there is a middle ground in terms of what we can support moving forward, and I think 2018 will actually be one of those years where we get to make these kinds of larger middle ground decisions. One thing we can all agree on is that we need more public subsidy for the lower income housing or the really strong workforce housing. So we're going to be looking at a ballot measure in 2018, potentially countywide, a local tax measure that will provide a local source of funding for help bridging the gap for new affordable housing projects, specifically aimed at those on the earning in the lower income end of the kind of income bracket. And then we also have a couple of major opportunities that are middle ground that won't have any impact on the neighborhood. So, for instance, UCSC is looking at building a net 2,200-unit development on campus. So I know people like to blame the university yeah. for not doing a lot of things, but this is actually a major step that they're making, and the kind of coalition they've assembled to help get this project done. And if, like, for right now, no private developer could come anywhere near in Santa Cruz County 2,200 net units to add on anywhere. So the fact that UCSC is actually stepping up and doing this, mm-hmm. imagine if we had 2,200 net units tomorrow. Imagine the impact that would have in the local rental market and the impact that students are having. There's only 9,000 students living off campus. So that's a huge impact. So these are the kinds of things that I think a lot of people can get behind that are middle of the road, major incremental steps forward. So,
okay, let me ask both of you. We have about 20 minutes left. Let's talk about affordability, you know, as the other side of the coin of supply. Is it even possible to build it? Okay, say we got everything we wanted and we did it in a way that was conducive to, you know, 70%. We had a 70% consensus. Okay, this is the plan forward. We have to acknowledge that there is a crisis. We have to acknowledge that there is a supply problem. But how much could we really bring? I mean, I was telling Evan in the last segment, $950,000 is the median listing price. $850,000 is the median value. Can we bring the price down?
Well, you know,
you're an agent too, Seb.
In the housing crash, the affordability in Santa Cruz reached 40%. Right now, it's down around 15 or 16%. Right, so I mean, affordability goes up and it goes down. I don't know that there is any way to bring affordability permanently down into the 60 or 70% range. That's probably not going to be possible. Given, well, that's, what I often tell people is that when the zombie apocalypse comes, then everything will be very, very affordable, yeah, right?
But the demand is unlimited.
Until that time comes, we're going to, I think, always be looking at a expensive place to live because it's a desirable place to live, and people, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to want to come here, and it's there's no quick solution to the affordability issue, but we can make, I think, major inroads. And I think what Robert was just addressing about the 2,200 units going on UCSC, and I think Santa Cruz is planning 800 more units downtown. I think that's going to help a lot. I think that easing up on the ADU restrictions, which the county is right now working on a new ADU ordinances, that will help a lot. You know, increases and changes in zoning for other projects. I mean, the ADUs, though, they don't actually have to change any zoning to allow for the ADUs to be constructed, but other properties, rezoning them to allow higher density, this kind of stuff over the course of years will eventually, if we actually, you know, are able to see it through, bring a greater number of housing units, and that will increase affordability for all kinds of people, you know, for renters, for homeowners, for you know, vacationers, for retirees, for everybody.
So, Seb, I'm curious, as an agent, as an active working agent right now, what does it look like to you, the market right now? What is it from the terms of the buyers and the sellers? Is there desperation? Are people – are they outbidding each other? What's going on?
Yeah, I see that there's a lot of people who want to move away. They can't because they're worried about, as the caller mentioned on the last segment, paying the capital gains tax. They can't leave with their Prop 13 tax basis. You know, they feel that it's too expensive for them to move. So you see a lot of people wanting to move, feeling that they can't move. You see a lot of working professionals who, you know, they can afford maybe $750,000 for a house, but they can't find any house they want to live in that costs $750,000. You know, these people are doctors and lawyers. Right. You know, a lot of these people, they can maybe afford a payment, but they don't have the down payment together, right? You find a lot of teachers and law enforcement, county workers, right, who they might make, you know, $100,000, $120,000 a year, like combined family
yes.
income. But for those people, there also is almost nothing out there. And what
yes.
is out there will either be in Boulder Creek mm-hmm. or it will be down in Watsonville. And that will be meaning a long commute. They might be looking at an hour each way just to get to their job in the county building or at a school someplace. So
right.
Yeah, I see a lot of desperation, and I actually see people moving. I mean, for a lot of my career, I've anecdotally heard about people leaving the area because of the cost is too much. But now I see a lot of people actually pulling up stakes and just saying, you know, I can't handle it anymore. It's just gotten to be out of control.
Yeah. So we just had tax changes with the new tax. It's an act now. It was a tax bill, and a lot of people are moaning in California, New Jersey, New York, that their property tax bills are no longer deductible. How does that affect the market?
So
tell me, why don't you clarify what the changes are and then explain how that will affect the market?
Well, one of the big changes is that the standard deduction has been essentially doubled to $24,000 for a couple. So a lot of people aren't going to need to itemize anymore. The National Association of Realtors is very unhappy with this change because it disincentivizes home ownership. But for people who can itemize, there are going to be caps on things which you used to be able to deduct. So, like, you used to be able to deduct mortgage interest up to $1 million. You used to be able to deduct all your property tax and state income tax. Now they're capping that at $10,000 for property and state income tax, right? So for a lot of people in our area, they'll pay well in excess of $10,000 in property tax and state income tax. So it's going to make it more expensive for a lot of middle-class homeowners based on these changes that we see in the tax code. So a lot of people are very concerned with what that's going to look like. There's been a lot of different changes. I mean, the taxation on S-corps is changing so that you'll have that pass-through 20% income tax rate. For a lot of people, that will mean a deduction in their reduction in their income tax. So there's going to be winners and losers.
Okay.
Based on the
is there any
the
in terms
code.
Of real in terms of real estate law, do you think it is there any positive effects other than, I mean, outside the mortgage deduction, capital gains, things like that? Is there anything? I mean, I'm coming from this from the position of every time we've had a major change in tax law, it's really upset the real estate industry.
Right.
86, it turned the real estate industry upside down with the Tax Reform Act back then. And I'm just curious, is this really going to turn the industry upside down, or it's going to have a marginal effect, really?
I think that, the National Association of Realtors and the California Association of Realtors was predicting a 10% decrease in property values if the proposed changes were to come to pass. A lot of those proposed changes did not come to pass. Ultimately, a lot of the changes that were made were not as draconian as had been previously feared. So I don't know that there's going to be a big difference either way. I think that there will be some reduction in second homes and those kind of properties because they will be more expensive now for a lot of people. And that might make them more affordable for people who, you know, want to live in them as their primary residence. But I don't really think that in the end there's going to be a dramatic change either way on cost, affordability, or supply.
Okay.
Based on the changes that we've seen that actually got passed in the tax overhaul.
Okay, so we have to go to a quick break for our last segment. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Charles Friedman Show on KSCO AM 1080, 104.1 FM in Santa Cruz. Charles is out on vacation this week. My name is Brad. I am his fill-in host. I'm also the morning producer and the co-host of Flight 1080. So I'm speaking to Seb Fry. He is a local real estate agent, and Robert Singleton, who is the executive director of the Santa Cruz County Business Council. And I would like to talk to Robert briefly about, I read a couple articles that people have to move because they can't find housing. How is that going to affect our economy long term?
Oh, there's no doubt that housing is the biggest concern amongst the local business community, primarily because it makes it extremely hard to recruit and retain talented folks. So right now, around 30% of our workforce in Santa Cruz County commutes over the hill every single day to get essentially higher paying wages to afford the cost of living in Santa Cruz, because the cost of Santa Cruz wages are essentially just about, I don't know the exact number, between 20 and 30% lower on average for the same type of job. So already you have a major shift, and because the high cost of living that people are having to commute out of the county. And then furthermore, if you're attracting any kind of middle manager position, so we have a major shortage in the area of middle managers across the county or across different industries as well. And that's primarily because
while the sea levels and those who are making higher incomes can afford to live here, and then you also have a constant churn of younger, lower-wage service workers, mm-hmm. the folks in the middle, like your teachers, your you know, perhaps your new attorneys, your working professionals, young families, they're the ones who are getting hit the hardest
yes.
because they don't yet have the incomes to be able to afford the high cost of living in Santa Cruz County.
So it's frustrating for me. I'm from Santa Cruz. This is my hometown. And so I grew up here in my youth. I went to college here. I did every dingy, dirty job. I mean, restaurant industry, construction, I've done it all. And so I was part of the working class. And I remember, and it was rough in the sense that I lived in a granny unit, a horrible granny unit. I lived in the houses, the single family homes where you stuffed 7-8 people into them. And the thing is someone who's worked in construction and in the restaurant industry, I'm a little concerned, and people who work at Starbucks and do all – basically, these are the people who make our community and society function. It's the workers. And it's unimaginable to me that these people are paying 70 to 80% of their income just so they're not homeless. I mean, what – in terms of supply, what can we do for these folks who can't afford – even if we brought the prices down to $650, which I don't think is even reasonable. What do we do with these people? I mean, we can't put, like the other caller said, we're not going to dump them in Arizona and give them seeds to plant.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do that. But what you are actually starting to see is the effects of labor shortages on first service workers specifically. I'll give you two examples, farm worker housing and cooks. So farm worker housing, in the Central Coast, we actually have had in the past couple years such a shortage in farm workers who are willing to make the trip up here because of the high cost of living that we actually lost between 15% to 20% of in the Salinas Valley area of our crop this year because we couldn't pick it fast enough. So some of the companies have actually banded together, and I forget which one, but they actually approved on-site farm worker housing just so they could maintain it and eliminate their labor shortage. So actually went ahead proactively, this major ag company, and built housing on-site. So we're looking at a kind of a similar model potentially for some of our larger institutions here in Santa Cruz County as well. But another way in which you're seeing kind of the labor shortage on the service worker end play out here is in the city of Santa Cruz, for instance, which has a hospitality industry, is using our kind of our staple. We have a shortage of cooks right now, like line cooks.
Yeah, where are they supposed to live? This is basically
exactly
the point of my question. I mean,
here's what's happening is you're actually seeing people starting to raise those wages for cooks because restaurants are having to compete for them.
Well, capitalism works in that sense, I suppose. We had a caller who didn't want to be on the air, but made a very good point about where our water supply is not dependable. And so if we build the housing, that means more water use. We're a first world country. I mean, we can't deny people water. I mean, we have a first world utility system. And that part of the equation we have to consider as well, not only the residential housing and the permitting and the land use, but also our utility use.
Yeah, I really dispute water being a major choke point for the development of housing. For one, almost all the new buildings that we're building are so much more efficient that the marginal addition of water use is extremely small, that our community actually even planning for a population increase is projecting a net decrease in water consumption because of the efficiency upgrades that are taking place in buildings. And Soquel Creek even has a water demand offset program that requires all new development to offset its water use by 200%. So in that sense, new development is actually driving reductions in water use. So, and we also have plans in place in all the major water districts that have to be certified by the state. You have to have 20-year plans, essentially, and all of them outline courses of actions and trigger points for potentially developing supplemental supply options, whether it's recycling water or the major plan right now is to utilize the existing aquifers in a partnership with the Santa Cruz and Soquel Creek water districts to store excess flows in the Soquel Creek's aquifers during wet times and to be able to utilize them as storage for when we need them during the droughts. So I'd actually completely argue that water is not a limiting factor for our growth, and if anything, the new growth is driving down our demand for water.
Wow. Okay, Seb, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think that the concerns about the water are, as Robert pointed out, really overblown. I think it's a red herring that a lot of people, like, for example, when the Aptos Village was being built, a lot of people who were opposing that project, they said, well, look at the water usage, The water usage for all those units, there's like 80 new units going out there, is far, far, far lower than any of the houses which these people who are complaining about water usage currently live in. The new development is, in fact, extremely water-friendly. The technologies that are coming online in the near future, such as stormwater injection into the aquifer and reclaimed water into the aquifer and reverse osmosis down there in Moss Landing. There's a lot of creative solutions that are coming on for water. And, you know, water will always be a problem for California, as it always has been, because, you know, droughts are cyclical and sometimes they're very severe, and that may become more of a problem going forward.
Well, you understand why people are a little panicky. We didn't have a drop of water this whole December.
I mean, yeah, I certainly understand that.
So, guys, let me try to get some callers in. We only have a few minutes left in the program. Let's try Jim and Felton. Thanks for holding. Jim, you're online.
Yes, I've been living in Santa Cruz County for 43 years, and I think you're always going to be behind that demand curve. I don't think you're ever going to meet demand for housing in Santa Cruz. I think one possible way to look at it, and this is probably much, much different than anyone so far has said on your show, is let's just not build it. And let those businesses and let those people move to other parts of the country where they're losing population, mm-hmm. where there's very cheap housing, and where some of that economic development should occur. And it's actually that's already happening. I just got a job offer from a company where most of the people I interviewed with, it's a high-tech company, work remotely. And they work in places like Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, Chicago, some in the Bay Area, and some outside the United States.
Thanks for your call, Jim. I got to get a couple more people in before we end the show. Jan, SOV, you are on our live line. What can we do for you? Jan, are you there? Hello? Terry, are you there?
Terry,
Santa Cruz Housing?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. We only have a few minutes. Go ahead, please.
Is that me, Terry?
Is that you? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I really love your show. I think you're bringing out some very valuable, important points. As far as going up and building high, mm-hmm. I think I speak for everybody in Santa Cruz except realtors, developers, or people that will make a lot of money doing it. We don't want to go high.
Yeah.
You don't only have the water problem. You have the traffic problem. I've been in Santa Cruz 42 years.
The traffic's out of control.
I'm with the guy that called before and say, just stop building, stop developing, or build the ADUs. Remove the restrictions on the ADUs, break up properties that are 14,000 square feet. Don't go up. It's ridiculous. It's hideous. It's insane.
I knew we'd get an opposing caller on that one. I just know my people so well that I know they're not going to like this at all. Thanks for your call, Jan. I got to go. I only have a minute left, and I need to close out the show. Thank you. So thanks, guys. I want to thank Evan Soroki. He's the founder of Santa Cruz Yimbies. I want to thank Seb Fry, and I want to thank Robert Singleton. I think we had a great discussion today about the challenges of housing, the supply side aspects of housing in Santa Cruz. We have a lot of political work that we need to do to convince people. Look, our last call had demonstrated that I know these divisions exist. You're going to have people who don't want to build up and concerned about traffic and water. People think, I mean, there's people in this community who've gone, we had a no growth movement here for 20, 30 years, and that's part of our culture as well. We have people concerned about climate change, our green spaces, making sure that we have enough water and utility hookups for our growing population. My attitude is, as a local, is we can't put our head in the sand any longer. I mean, we can't just pretend that our population is not growing anymore. I want to thank my guests. Once again, we're approaching the top of the hour. This is KSCO, Charles Friedman Show. The time is 2:00.